Healthspedia is compensated for commercial and nonprofit appearances. The opinion of the hosts, callers, and guests on this program are not those of New Jersey 101.5, Town Square Media, or station advertisers.
Six 10 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia. I want to thank Parks Casino for sponsoring New Jersey Chime Time. Guys, if you don't already know it, only 315 shopping days left until Joe Carillo's Day 2026. It happens that fast, Eric. You know, it just happens.
Where does the time go?
Where Bill? Does it go? I don't know if we'll have a white Joe Carillo Day next year or not, but how are we doing for a white Christmas there, Dan Zarrow?
Well, a lot of the snow that's on the ground today is going to magically disappear this morning because it is raining and it is warm out there.
I'm still, as you see, I've got my raincoat on. I got soaked coming in because I got a sweatshirt on.
It is pouring outside.
Pouring rain.
However, what did the Speedia thermometer in the car have to say this morning?
Oh, it was 47 this morning.
Okay.
It was 47 when I only checked it right when I got in the car.
Yes.
So what should it 50
Most
something?
Of the state is in the 50s this morning. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if somebody hits 60 late this morning.
Really?
Before temperatures take their big tumble this afternoon. So
I think it may have been 51 when I got into the parking lot here.
I mean, warmer than it has been in such a long time.
Hot.
It's such a weird morning because it's warm and stormy.
Yeah.
Yes, that weather does happen occasionally here in December, by the way, but that's what we've got.
But it's only going to last this morning, right? We're having a tumbling temperature.
Yes.
So, in the next 8 hours.
The rain is this morning. The tumbling temperatures is this afternoon. So one comes after the other. And the resounding theme here is wind. That could happen at any time, gusts to 40 or 50 miles an hour, both with thunderstorms this morning, and then especially as that cold air whooshes in this afternoon into this evening, the wind kicks up again.
So we have a dinner tonight, early dinner, and I'll be on the road probably at 4 o'clock heading out. What do you think?
Is blustery wind? Will be the word. Yeah.
What about icy? What about dangerous driving?
You know, the thing is, because the wind kicks up for several hours before we drop below freezing, wind is a great evaporator. And the sun will start to come out, too. So a lot of the puddles will start to dry up.
Great.
I think the bigger concern is that if the rain doesn't melt all the snow away, that's going to turn to solid ice tonight. Like on your front lawn, for instance.
Yeah,
that's
just
going to be a glacier, whatever's left. Roads tomorrow morning, I think there could be icy spots, but it's going to mainly dry out quite a bit. You know, you just have to kind of stay alert and use caution and get ready to bundle up again.
You're off for the next week.
I am, yes.
That's
this
great.
I'm ready for some vocal rest.
You need some. Yes, you need some. So this is my last chance to ask you, what are you thinking Christmas Day? What are the prospects?
Yeah, great question. So after this, the next storm system is Tuesday, which is Christmas Eve. That could bring us a few snowflakes, maybe some light accumulations. It's not a strong storm system, but it's the next thing we're watching. It's 5 days away, so it's still kind of out there. There's another one, a chance for spotty showers on Christmas Day. Right now, that looks like rain rather than anything else.
Got it.
But, you know, again, worth watching. And then there's another one that week in between Christmas and New Year's Day. That one could be a little stronger. That one could take more of a coastal storm track.
Okay.
But, you know, we're 10 days away at that point. That could completely disappear by the time things develop. So, yes, I take off for the rest of the year. But if something develops,
you will be there.
Put it this way. If you hear me back on the radio before 2026, that means stuff is hitting the fan and you should probably pay attention.
I love that. Now that's the warning. Eric, I love that, right?
Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
So named the Snow Grinch, Dan. Don't worry. We know if you're back, there's something to watch.
That's exactly right.
Oh, man. Yeah, the, I don't know. Are you in a Christmas mode yet, Eric? I'm not even...
No, it's a weird
thing. It doesn't feel like the holiday yet.
No, it doesn't. And we haven't decorated our tree yet. And that is the plan tonight. I got a packed day today.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm hoping Sandra's going to be able to come home early and we'll, you know, it's, but it's not one of those things where we would get excited about it every year. We're like, oh, let's, we're going to watch, we're
going to
watch
Elf
right and decorate the tree. Yeah. And I'll have, you know, it's, the most important thing is that I was told last night, regardless of what we're doing, it is Martini Friday. So well, have that, one waiting when I get home.
So it's possible if you start the martinis before the decorating, tomorrow will be decoration it is, day. But,
well,
not tonight,
you know, we have, and we, but we have a packed weekend schedule. So if we, I mean, literally, if we don't do it on tonight, if we don't do it tonight,
yeah,
it may not get done.
You know, we don't decorate the tree. I've now got. I mean, we have. We're now up to four trees. And because I have a cluster of the silver and rose gold trees in our living room. So we've got three together. It looks kind of cool. It looks kind of wintry, New Year's Eve-ish. And then we put a regular tree, green, with and the battle over the lights, we had the same thing. So I got a tree that has both.
Oh.
With a remote control.
Okay.
So we
can change?
It can change. So we've got white lights.
Okay.
And then colored lights. Not at the same time. They switch, and it's actually pretty cool.
We have, you know, I didn't think about it. We have three trees in the house as well. We have the main tree, and then we have two smaller trees that are on either side of the fireplace.
Yeah.
And then I've got two trees on the deck and then another tree in the yard that are all lit.
Yeah, I didn't do anything outside. We did the candles. I thought about it this year, too, but I didn't do it. And Bob Williams was telling me he's got a neighbor that decorated outside and they have the lights wired into a local radio frequency. So when you pull up to the house, listen, how about this? You pull up to the house, there's a sign to tell you it's like way down on the dial where nobody lives, 88, 89, on the FM dial. And there'll be music playing, which coincide with the blinking of the lights.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, that's, like, that's
next
effort.
Level.
That
but
is
it's
next
interesting,
level.
And I don't know if it's the same way in your neighborhood, but, it you know, most everybody has something up outside, some type of light, whether it's a light on a bush or, you know, the candles in the window or something like that. And you can almost see the battle in the neighborhood because ours are all white lights, the warm white, like yellow lights outside, and we switched over to the LEDs this year, so... You know, it's and
I don't
then,
mind the new LEDs that are that look warmer.
Yes,
the
that's
bright
what these
hospital
are.
Operating
those.
Lights,
I don't. Yeah, I bought a strand of those 1 year, and Sandra was like, "You're going to give everybody a seizure when they're walking by." So I got rid of those, got the new LEDs, and then you have another house that has really nice white lights, and then we have another neighbor that puts up these flashing strobe all color, like, oh, you can't look at it. And it just, and it,
yeah.
And I, that's cool, but it's just, it's, there's,
it's a lot.
There's that one house in every neighborhood that stands out that is like, oh, okay. Well, clearly they want to give the neighbors a seizure.
Right. So that's a good question to start with this morning. Did you decorate outside? Are you that house that goes crazy that we all have to look away and avert our eyes to avoid having a heart attack or a seizure while parking our car? Are you that guy? 1-800-283-101.5, 617, Fast Traffic Instant Weather next.
From deep discussions to lighthearted conversations, you're listening to New Jersey 101.5.
Out.
The Bill Spadia Morning Show on New Jersey 101.5 is powered by Windows and Doors from the Men with Tools.
Six 24 in New Jersey, 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia. So I was talking about decorations. Bob Williams, you're the one that alerted me to the whole... explain that to me, how you tied a radio frequency to Christmas lights.
Well, since we spoke, I did a little bit of preliminary research, and anybody can apply for a personal use FM transmitter, personal transmitter. It's very limited. You can't sell anything. You can't do anything crazy. And it's only for about 200 feet, 200 yards outside of your home or wherever your base is going to be. So that's how a lot of these people get their music
When I start to lose my mind and the kid's plan was to put me in a corner and turn a microphone on, I could actually be broadcasting.
You
I need to let them know this.
Broadcasting to anybody in the immediate area.
200 feet. I like that.
And And we were talking, the guy
who I'm never going
to
retire now.
The guy who did the choreography with the music, he won the township decorating contest.
He
right
should have won.
Right around the corner from me. He did a great job. He's a new neighbor. I haven't met him yet, but seems like my kind of guy. You can tune in to 91.3 and listen to his show over here.
I love that. 91.3 in Roxbury on one certain street in front of one house. And right you will right be in the Christmas spirit, baby. Thank you, Bob.
You got it, guys.
All right, guys. 626 on New Jersey 101.5. Hey, on the other side, do you exchange gifts with your coworkers? I received gifts today, and here it is my last day, and I forgot. I have nothing. What about you? 1-800-283-101.5. 626, Eric Scott with the news in 4 minutes. 638 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia with you till 10 o'clock this morning, talking Jersey. Taking your calls, 1-800-283-101.5. You know, Eric, I wanted to keep it light this morning and talk about the decorations and the gifts. And
what got you cranked up?
The minimum wage.
Oh, boy.
So here's what bothers me about it, that the argument for the minimum wage is always that workers can't afford a basic quality of life on $15 an hour or whatever the number is
right
at this point.
Yep.
So the left argues we need to raise the wage because it's not fair. And the right, in my opinion, correctly, stands up for small business and say, you know, this will actually cost jobs. The problem is that the Republicans in New Jersey have never really taken a super strong stand on what they ought to be saying, which is we should eliminate the minimum wage. Now, I'm not asking for your political opinion on that. I respect, you know, the boundaries and where you're just reporting it. But the question I have for you is, why does no one, neither side, not Republicans or Democrats, look at the reality of what's happened in places like Seattle and other right areas where literally hundreds and thousands of people get laid off? And automation comes in.
Well,
look at every kiosk at McDonald's. I mean, my God, I don't need a McDonald's.
That is it, right?
Right?
It's all
automated now.
You think about. So, yes, when you look at the empirical data, you can see a negative impact on business. And it is a stranglehold on small and medium-sized businesses that may want to expand and add to their employee base, but they can't because the wage costs have now once again gone up. More than $7 an hour since Murphy took office almost 8 years ago.
So almost a dollar a year.
Which, if you're a small or medium-sized business, particularly if you're a small-sized business, that matters.
Yeah, sure it does.
You know, and it's, I don't know that I would advocate for eliminating a minimum wage, but minimum wage jobs historically have not been jobs that are long-term career jobs.
So
they're meant to be
right
that stepping stone into whatever the next phase of your life is going
but
to be.
But that is often ignored.
And it is often ignored.
And I've said this. I said, I had a little thing. I poked at Elon Musk today. I may have called him a communist. I'm just saying I may have done that. He has not responded, but nor do I expect him to.
Right.
But I was making a point because we were talking about the robot wars that are coming, clearly, yesterday. And Elon was challenged by a couple of folks saying, you know, this idea of a universal robot humanoid takeover of all the jobs, you're going to displace millions of people, tens of millions of people who will have no job to go to. And Elon's response was, well, it's okay, because we're going to have a universal high income guaranteed by the government. And I said, Elon, that is a fantasy that has been tried. And all you're saying is instead of bread lines and gruel, we're going to have caviar and a ride on your yacht once in a while. Either way, it can't work. You can't. It's never worked in history where government could guarantee a certain level because the market decides. And I made this argument that there's no minimum wage for business leaders, CEOs. There's no minimum wage for broadcasters. There's no minimum wage at our level. Why is it then that wages are negotiated and you can make a living doing what we do? Well, because the market actually works. And my argument has always been, why couldn't the market also work at the waitstaff level, at the clerk level, at the landscaper level. It could. So it's not like all of a sudden everyone's going to get paid $2 an hour. Because you won't do that. You'd never do it.
There will be employers that will... there are unscrupulous employers out there.
No doubt.
That will take advantage of their workers. So you could not do that unless you had stepped up enforcement through the Labor Department or through the Attorney General that looked at what employers are doing and how they're treating their employees. Because it will de facto set the minimum wage much lower.
Yes.
And you will have individuals that will take advantage of that. It just will.
I won't agree.
Be the majority, but and those unscrupulous business owners that would do that, there have to be repercussions for
that. Well, if they're breaking the law, right? I mean, I look at it this way.
Well, then what is the law? You're going to have to rewrite the law.
Well, here's the problem. Right now, how many small businesses are breaking the law by paying cash under the table?
Oh, without a doubt.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, all the...
You're not going to hire an intern or some kid out of high school to help you with whatever project you're working on for $17 an hour, where the hell they make it. You're going to say, look, I'll give you $100. You know, here you go. And it's under any enforcement level in terms of taxes. I think the wage actually encourages tax cheats.
Without a doubt, because then you're only fueling an increase in the underground economy.
Right.
So you're either going to pay somebody under the table or you're going to pay them a set rate as a 1099 employee, which the Murphy administration aggressively went after and tried to eliminate anyway.
What happened with that? Where is that? Because that's a big deal. They want to kill the gig economy. You can't pay somebody 1099. Everybody's got to be an employee.
Yeah. Everything went on hold for a while.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't be a bit surprised if, you know, you see a resurgence of that, even under a Sherrill administration.
Yeah.
Now, she has been asked about it, hasn't really talked about it a lot. But, you know, there's so many things that are out there. And you wonder if at some point somebody realizes, hey, can we just take a breath? Can we take a pause here? Can we not put another burden on business? Can we actually take a look and see what the impact is of existing policies before we enact new ones?
Thank you. That's it. We could have a reasonable discussion on whether or not there should be a minimum wage intellectually, but based on facts, because who's right? Is the position that Eric's taking right, that you would have unscrupulous business owners taking advantage of people? Would you have an opportunity all of a sudden, young people at 16 and 17 getting job opportunities that could lead to a very lucrative career, unburdened because now an employer could say, look, I'll pay you $5. I mean, there's no minimum wage for the kids that are shoveling driveways. When I was, you know, Eric, you probably did the same thing. I don't know if in Buffalo, a little different because you get like, yeah, I was going to say Buffalo different, but you know, growing up in Cherry Hill, I mean, I would get paid $5 a driveway. I was happy with that.
Yeah, I got $5 a lawn for cutting grass.
Right.
Yeah.
And so the question I have for you, especially if you're a small business owner, do you understand and agree with my point that there should be no minimum wage guaranteed by the government? You work and you negotiate what you are worth. And I will tell you that the end result of that will be higher wages. And the reason? Because people will compete for good employees. You know that old thing, no Americans want to do these jobs. Well, nobody's going to hire you out of high school for $20 an hour. They might hire you for 10. And the idea that government arbitrarily sets a wage... Let's not kid ourselves. You cannot make a living on the minimum wage today. You would need 3 minimum wage jobs in order to make ends meet in the Garden State. So we are lying. This entire minimum wage conversation is based on lies. There should be no minimum wage. And I challenge every Republican in the legislature to grow a backbone and start talking about philosophy again in terms of ideology and core principles. I'm not saying go and start quoting ancient philosophers. I'm saying get to the root cause here. The economy needs to run on competition and capitalism. It should not run on government mandates. The more government gets involved, the more your business gets hurt. And The facts prove it out. How many businesses have left New Jersey? All those consumer protections against the one doctor who's going to leave an instrument in you after the operation has led to hundreds, if not thousands, of medical practitioners leaving the state for states that have limits on liability. All of these things factor. And as far as a minimum wage, the higher the minimum wage, the less job opportunity you have in New Jersey, the fewer small businesses that can expand. It's that simple. 1-800-283-101.5. Should we eliminate the minimum wage altogether? 647, traffic on the next.
When severe weather strikes, trust New Jersey 101.5 for the critical updates you need. Our award-winning weather and traffic team provides the latest weather details, road conditions, and more. While your app may give you updates, we go beyond the surface to explain the why behind the weather. For real-time, insightful coverage during severe weather, turn to New Jersey 101.5. Bro.
6:54 on New Jersey 101.5. I am Bill Spadia. So two things are going on in New Jersey you need to know about. Actually, a third thing, just so you know, today there's another hearing, and it looks like the health department could act today on implementing all those new rules that will effectively eliminate your religious exemptions, and it could impact private schools as well as public schools. Really, really bad as we are headed into a time where you know it's only around the corner before the government decides what the next pandemic is going to be and what the next shot is you're going to have to take. And your rights are in jeopardy in New Jersey. Now, on a practical side of the economy, and I'd love to talk about this with you on the other side of the news, I believe we ought to eliminate the minimum wage. But more importantly, we need to protect the gig economy. And regardless of your stance on a minimum wage, and I get there's a little feel good that you want to protect people. I understand that. However, minimum wage policy over the decades has resulted in massive job losses and massive tax cheats undermining the economy by paying under the table. So those two things are happening. But more importantly in New Jersey, or perhaps equally importantly in New Jersey, you've got to push to force everyone to be an employee. And I can tell you, as somebody that does a lot of gig work, whether it's in my movie business or the freelance writing that I do, all of these things, it doesn't make sense. You know, I have been tasked with writing certain pieces and advocating for certain things. And sometimes there are payments that go along with some of the work that I do, whether it's, appearing to promote something or whatever it is. It's not practical for me to be an employee of every single appearance payment that I make. That doesn't make sense. So for you, if you're an accountant, a CPA, or somebody that does freelance work and you work for maybe, two or three dozen different clients, the assault on the gig economy and the 1099 employees makes no sense, because what it will do is it's going to shut it down. And I can promise you this, it will cost New Jersey potentially hundreds of millions in tax revenue, because people will continue to do what they do. They're just going to lie about it. So we need to, A, protect 1099 employees, B, eliminate the minimum wage. If you are a gig employee and run your own business and work on 1099, do you even know that they're coming after you? 1-800-283-101.5, 656. Eric Scott with your news next.
Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and X, or visit NJ1015.com for the latest Jersey news and updates. New Jersey 101.5.
710 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia. Remember, only 315 shopping days until Joe Carillo's Day 2026. Hope you are getting ready. Eric, is there like a full moon or the planets in some weird alignment? Is it Mercury that goes into retrograde?
I don't know.
Something like that. Something must be going on,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because all I heard now is your news report, and I find myself agreeing with Governor Murphy. And I'm having a hard time with that. Just tell you, I feel like I need, I don't know if any therapists want to call in and help me out here. So Governor Murphy rightly called out the Republicans for campaigning on zero tax net tax increases while they voted for the tax increase. And it's important to note this because this is one of the things that really gave life and energy to Joe Carillo's day.
Yes, that's
because
true.
Joe was a champion of the 23-cent tax increase. So Murphy says that, which he's not wrong. And then he talks about the sales tax, where on one hand he's saying we're not going to raise it, but am I right? He had no comment on the lowering of it.
Well, he said he doesn't agree with it. Doesn't agree with lowering it, saying the state can't afford it. And it was Senator Anthony Bucco that introduced a bill to decrease the sales tax from...
By what?
Well, down to 6%. So from 6.625 to 6%.
So literally it's at 6.625 now.
Yep.
Because at one point it was at 8%. And then the Christie administration bargained with that to raise our other taxes by lowering the sales tax by a couple of basis points. And it ended up being lowered, I think, the first year, like 0.25, something like that.
It was fractional as you saw it go down.
And it had no impact on business. Nobody's like, oh, my God, New Jersey went from 8 to 7. We better shop in Jersey, said no one ever.
Right.
So Bucco's plan is probably the most fiscally irresponsible plan I could think of. Tony, let me help you out here. Every point of the sales tax is about $1 billion in revenue. Right, Eric? It's somewhere in that neighborhood. That's the
rough numbers,
economic
yeah,
estimate.
You're right. You're right. Yep.
So if you lowered the sales tax from 6.625, less than 7, to a flat 6, you would potentially be costing the revenue side in this state almost guaranteed revenue, because everyone, if you live here, you're buying things here. It's that simple. You're not going to Pennsylvania to save a half a point on the sales tax. You're not going to Delaware, even honestly, to save 3 points. You're going to your local store for the most part. It would cost the taxpayers $625 million to lower it from 6.625 down to 6, based on those numbers.
Right? Approximately, yeah.
My question to you, Eric, and again, I'm going to go on your history of more than three decades doing this. I've never seen a more inept Republican opposition party. I should even put opposition in quotes, right? Maybe air quotes. I'll do the little air quotes.
Well,
because there's no tangible plan.
I think they've forgotten how to be the vocal minority.
Yeah.
Instead of challenging bad policy.
Mm-hmm.
They simply propose a worse policy of their own.
Right.
And that has been the problem that you can challenge. And I don't know if it's a dearth of intellectual thinkers. I don't know if it's a dearth of good government advocates. But there was a time when the minority party in opposition, whether it was the Democrats when the Republicans were in charge, or early on when the Republicans first were slipping into the minority, they would come and say, all right, this is bad policy, and this is why. Because of A, B, C, and D. This is the impact that it would have. There's nobody in the Republican Party in the legislature right now that is doing that type of deep dive policy analysis that can make the public argument of this is bad. And this is why it's bad. And this is the argument for it. That doesn't happen anymore. And that's unfortunate, because that's when you truly have a debate about good government. Now it's just the de facto, well, that Democrat plan is bad, mine is better. Is it really?
Well, I can tell you, as a Republican, and I know this is much to the chagrin of the current Republican leadership, but by the way, guys, your time is limited. So my brand of Republican politics is exactly what the future is going to be for this party. And if you don't accept that, you're going to be the permanent minority going ahead for the next 5 decades, because you have nothing to offer the unaffiliated voters out there, nothing to offer the disaffected Democrats. You've got a minority leader in Senator Tony Bucco. And Tony, just so you know, as many of the times that you've called me screaming and yelling and being angry, I don't take it personally. What you should be doing right now, Tony, now that you've been reelected as the Senate minority leader, is having a deep dive with some of the smart people in your caucus and having a conversation about what the middle in New Jersey needs and what they're expecting from the opposition to the Democrats, because 2027 is looming. And as far as I'm concerned, outside of a couple of guys, Knitra, Weber, maybe a handful of others, Ara Dunn, a few others, none of you guys deserve re-election, because you don't have the guts to stand up and recognize that nobody with half a brain thinks that they will benefit if you lower the sales tax from 6.625 to 6. It doesn't benefit anyone. You may as well raise it by that much and guarantee the equal number of cuts. Imagine this for a second, guys. Imagine the sales tax is now 7%. Raise it by what would be a couple hundred million. Would anybody go out of state to shop if your sales tax went from 6.6 to 7? No. Nobody's going to make a buying decision based on 0.3% of a sales tax. So why not grab that $300 million in revenue and then require of the Democratic majority, in order to vote for that, to cut costs by $300 million, cut spending. Now you'll have a $600 million shift in our budget. These are the kinds of smart policy conversations that need to be had. All right, if you're a small business, I want to talk to you. How does the minimum wage impact you? Do you agree with me? It is time to eliminate, to zero, the minimum wage in New Jersey. 717, Fast Traffic Instant Weather next.
This holiday season, New Jersey 101.5 and Earth Treasures want to honor the unsung heroes among us, those who give without expecting anything in return. It's time to shine a spotlight on your everyday champions.
Whether it's a teacher, neighbor, caregiver, or friend, nominate the person who deserves a little shine this holiday season. Hey guys, Bill Spadia here. Every weekday at 9:10 a.m., I'll read your submissions celebrating the everyday heroes who make a difference.
Plus, each hero we recognize will win a $100 gift card to Earth Treasures. And every nomination is automatically entered for a chance to win a $3,000 Earth Treasures gift certificate. So go ahead, nominate the holiday hero who deserves the shine. Only on New Jersey 101.5. Presented by Earth Treasures in the Michaels Plaza in Eatontown. Let's celebrate those who truly make the season bright. Submit your nominations at nj1015.com.
725 on New Jersey 101.5. I am Bill Spadia, and guys, are you ready for Christmas? Dan, you've got like a team of like a football team of kids.
Yeah, I got a few kids. Yeah,
are you ready? Is the house ready? I mean, it's next week.
We are almost ready. We were just reconciling our spreadsheet of presents.
You need a spreadsheet.
Wow. Yeah, that's how we do it. Yes.
Wow.
And there's a couple more things we have to get, but we're almost there. We got such a late start this year. It just everything snowballed. And
well, Thanksgiving was late. It was the last Thursday.
We went to Disney World in November, and then we all got sick, and it's just been one thing after another. But I think finally we've got a handle on things, and we will be ready for the holiday in just 6 days from now.
6 days. Yeah. It's amazing. Jill, what about you? You got a new grandbaby.
Yeah.
Come on, Nani. Get ready.
A hot mess. I'm telling you. It's just like she wasn't due till January 2nd.
So now you got to buy Christmas gifts.
I feel like the little drummer boy. I have no gift for the king.
You have no gift
for the queen.
Well, you could go buy some frankincense, some myrrh, gold. That would be an appropriate gift.
Why not?
They were ready, those wise men.
No,
I'm the drummer boy.
Will she be home today from the hospital?
She was home yesterday.
Okay, good.
Yeah. We are.
So will this change Christmas plans?
Totally. They won't be there. You know,
what are you going to do?
They won't go out. And, well, that's the thing. And. Yeah, it's going to them, going back and forth, and
so all of a sudden you have a chaotic Christmas now,
and just so many people to buy for. Like Dan had mentioned, you know, he's got four, I have three, but now they have significant others.
Mm.
And I was talking to my girlfriends last night about where do you draw the line with all these gifts? Where like now I have nieces and nephews, who also have babies, so and then in-laws and brother-in-laws.
Yeah, we had an answer for it.
What?
Zero.
Well, that's the thing. Now, my friends.
I did
last
no
night,
Christmas shopping.
Guess what they said?
Yeah.
They buy, like, she said she buys for her brother-in-law. What?
No.
I'm not buying anything it, for my
we used to do, when Jody and I first got married, you know, she's got a huge family and the tons of, we would do a Yankee swap, which was great. You buy one gift, you bring the gift. Our friends do this, the Gibbons, great friends of ours. They do a Christmas Eve. I don't know if they're doing it this year, but every other Christmas Eve, and there are 30 people there, but everybody brings one gift. And you draw a number, and you can trade the gifts, and it makes it interactive and fun. Because otherwise, what are you doing? You're buying 30 gifts? Come on.
And then you're bringing home 30 gifts, half of which you probably don't want. Right.
I used to have a white elephant Yankee swap. It was hilarious. You had to bring a gift that you did not buy, that you didn't want anymore. It was something from home.
I love that.
People bought the
clean out the closet for a Yankee swap.
Yes. But then it became a Yankee swap where you could steal the other person's gift. So it was hilarious because when you put them all the gifts in them, they had to be wrapped.
Yeah.
So everything looked so like promising when it's wrapped. You know how a gift just looks so great when it's wrapped.
Yeah. But then unwrapped Dan's gift, but I will not share until after the new year.
And you're not going to re-gift it.
No, I love it. Are you kidding? Great. Oh, no. Okay. Dan put a lot of thought into this.
It's rather personal.
Yeah.
If Bill Spadia were to give that gift, it wouldn't have the same power as meteorologist Dan Zarrow.
Exactly. It is really clever and thoughtful. You're going to love it, Joe. All right, 728. Hey, on the other side, I want to talk about something that the government's sneaking in on you, these new changes to the health department. You're going to get hurt by it, and they're going to do it while you're paying attention to Christmas, of course. 728, Eric Scott with your news next.
Hi.
7:38 on New Jersey 101.5.
Eric,
you were distracted talking to Jill, so I figured I'd cover you here for a second.
Well, I appreciated that, Eric. And actually, it was Jill yelling at me because you and I were talking over her while she was doing her report. And look, it was a very important conversation about the fact that in Pennsylvania, you can buy the little mini bottles of liquor and they're in glass and not plastic.
Yes.
Oh,
but I can't find
them. Over the bridge.
Well, I was looking for them in Jersey because with our betting, it's gotten to a point now where, let's face it, I lose most of these bets and you know, I'm out a couple of big bottles, so I want to now start betting on the little bottles.
But you want you don't want plastic, you want glass.
No, I want to have a real legitimate glass bottle. The liquor should be in glass, not plastic. Right?
Yeah, and I reuse them. I will refill them and take them on the plane.
I love that. That is fantastic. Well, because they're less than 3 ounces, right?
Correct. They make it through the TSA.
And they don't say anything.
Right.
Are you serious?
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's fantastic. All right, food for thought. Let's think about that on my next trip when I have that layover in D.C., which
I don't
want to talk about.
What do you want? What do you want? Because I think they have them all over there in like 10 packs or whatever. So I'll get...
Yeah, all right, I'll text you and then I'll Venmo you.
Okay, so perfect. Next time I'm there, I'll just send you a screenshot of what they've got.
I love it.
Because I think there's a little bit of everything over there.
Yeah.
And I love the little glass bottles. They even have... a lot of them look like the smaller version of the big bottle. So if you wanted to get like a bottle of tequila, what's the bottle of tequila that comes in the squat little bottle? I can't think of it. That's what the bottle looks like.
I love that. Not Cuervo.
No,
it's a good one.
Patron.
Patron.
Patron kind of has that squat little bottle.
I love that.
So they're little bottles.
Yes.
Are glass bottles. They're little Patron bottles.
Yeah, I was looking for like the little bottles of, I know Maker's Mark does the little bottles too.
And it also looks like
And it looks like it's got the little red, right? Yeah, that's it. All right, good. Yeah, I think that is that's how we're going to start the new year. Yes, I'm thinking about new year betting, of course, obviously. Anyway, all right, guys, on a serious topic, not that that isn't serious, it is. Let the lawsuits begin. New Jersey is at it again, despite winning a bigger majority in the legislature, further diminishing any relevance of the Republican minority. The Democrats are still using the lame duck to shove more draconian measures down our throats. This time, in a 400-page document, the Department of Health is changing the rules. Now, what are they going to do? They're going to establish a statewide database on vaccine status. You can't get out of it. Then they're going to exempt the state's database and process for declaring a public health emergency from any OPRA request. Think about that. They'll be able to operate essentially in secret. And beyond those two problematic freedom eroding actions, they're going to empower private institutions to actively discriminate against you if you don't follow the narrative of the scheduled vaccine. And remember,
We had RFK come in and help us out changing the CDC guidelines. New Jersey's not following it. Joining me now, Dana Wefer, who is one of New Jersey's strongest freedom advocating attorneys. She's a friend. She is a champion. And her and my friend John Coyle, they are bringing a lawsuit against the state. How you doing, Dana? Good morning.
Hi, good morning, Bill. I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing great. So you guys have filed your suit. Tell me what's going on. Let folks understand how you are standing up for their freedom.
Sure thing. So we filed the suit this morning. So what we're dealing with here is the state attempting to amend the sanitary code. And most people don't ever think about the sanitary code, but in terms of government regulation, it's probably the one that impacts our day-to-day life the most. And because it's so important, our legislature said that before the government can amend the sanitary code, they have to have a public hearing. They have to hear from the public. It's required. They can't pass the rules without doing that. And here, they didn't do it. New Jersey Stands Up and other organizations had members who reached out. They asked for public hearings. The statute requires that they didn't do it. So this lawsuit is to make the government deal with the public. The legislature said they had to. And so now we are trying to prevent them from adopting the rules without having the public hearing that they are required to have.
Now, their plan is to adopt these rules in the next week or so, right? They're doing it. They're working through this process right now.
Their plan is to adopt these rules today.
Today. So you Okay, so they didn't wait at all. They're like, hey, it's a Friday before Christmas. Let's do it now. So let me ask you this. If you are granted... what would it be? An injunction? What's the legal status that if the judge hears you this morning, what could they do? And will that actually lock up and delay this implementation?
So we are asking for an injunction. Functionally, if we won an injunction this morning, it would obviate everything for the moment. We're asking the judge to say they can't do this. They're acting beyond their authority if they try to enact these codes without following the rules the legislature laid out. So it would, they just wouldn't be allowed to do it. They would have to go back and hold the public hearing.
And that what would now, how does it work legally? You file the suit today. Will a judge hear this today?
There's a very good chance we could be heard this morning. That's what I'm hoping for.
All right. So, Dana, keep us posted. What I'm going to do is I am going to share. John sent me over the website. It's you can join the fight. Obviously, this costs money to fight Big Brother. And you guys have a Give, Send, Go page. Thank you for doing it on Give, Send, Go. I try not to share GoFundMe pages because the spam that comes through. Give, Send, Go is such a much better site. Way easier to raise money from, and you know they're not going to come in and play politics with you. So thank you for doing that. I will share this site. It is Join the Fight Against NJ Health Freedom Overreach. And Dana, if you wouldn't mind, send me a note as soon as you hear anything from the judge because we want to continue to update the audience, and we're going to alert out to our list. Actually, I think we've already done that, and I'm going to include the link to the Give, Send, Go so that people can join and help.
Thank you so much, babe. We'll definitely keep you posted.
Yeah, let me know. Thank you, Dana. Good luck. Keep
Thank
the fight.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too. Bye. Keep the faith. Keep the fight. Dana Wefer is one of the strongest attorneys in New Jersey and is now teaming up with John Coyle. You've heard him on the air. Dana's been coming on the air for years. So is John. Two really good champions and watchdogs for our freedom. This is serious, guys. If the Department of Health can change the rules and undermine the legislative process and undermine the statutory requirements to involve the public, then there is no recourse for us as citizens. And more people, especially if you are somebody that has resisted all the garbage coming from the CDC over the past decade, you'll be moving out of Jersey. You'll be going to states that do value your religious freedom, your medical freedom, and your parental rights. And I am telling you, I'm digging in and I'm going to fight like hell. But I will understand if people with little kids look at this and say, if we can't win this simple fight, which is, let me break it down for you. This is only requiring the government to follow the law. This is not even a debate over the actual policies. The lawsuit is about forcing the government to follow their own stated statutory rules and involve a public conversation. 1-800-283-101.5 is the number. 746 is the time. Traffic weather next.
Staying on top of the topics that matter to you. We are New Jersey 101.5.
7:53 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadio with you till 10 o'clock this morning. Guys, I'm going to post this Give, Send, Go site. Producer Thomas will alert this out. And Producer Thomas, if you wouldn't mind, put in the article links to the last three articles I've written about this, because each one, October 10th, October 22nd, and November 12th, each of those three articles has the details of why these Department of Health rules changes will impact you, your kids, your ability to make decisions for your family. And the lawsuit, when you read the blurb on the Give, Send, Go, and we're going to post Dana Weaver's audio into that article as well, so you can hear it. The issue is that the state is not following the rules, that they are required by law to have a public hearing. Well, where's our hearing? We didn't get a hearing. The public has not been allowed to have input, despite nearly 3,000 public comments sent to them, blasting them for these ridiculous rules, and a dozen formal requests for a public hearing. The state government is ignoring it. And it's pretty amazing, isn't it? They know there's an election coming up in 2027. They're trying to get all this crap done during the lame duck. While you're thinking about what you're going to make and bake for Christmas, they're doing this to screw you out of your rights so that the Democratic majority and the new governor doesn't have to get their hands dirty. Yet while this is going on, we've got the Senate Minority Leader, Tony Bucco, wanting to lower the sales tax by 0.6%. What a complete moron. What are you guys doing? First of all, Tony, you ought to be standing with the small business community and demanding that New Jersey's minimum wage, which is only there to prop up higher end union wages and push the floor as high as it can go. What do you think happens to your prevailing wage public jobs when minimum wage is raised? And you guys are worried about the sales tax? We're happy with the sales tax. Fine. 6.5. Could be 7.5. It's not going to hurt anybody. But the minimum wage hurts everyone. And they're missing it. They ought to propose zero. You realize it won't actually go to zero, right? There's a federal minimum wage at $7. And where's Bucco? Where's John DeMeo with this fight? It takes private citizens, John Coyle and Dana Weaver, and NJ Stands Up and NJ FIPAC and a few of these other organizations to actually stand up and fight. Where is the Republican Party? Nowhere. Crickets. Silent. Weak. Spineless. Disgusting. Go to nj1015.com/BillSpadia. Read all about it. All right. Rant over. Penny, thank you for dealing with this and staying on hold. I know you just want to talk about the holidays, and I'm going to get to you right after the news, which is next.
From Chief Meteorologist Dan Zero's weather to traffic that explains what's happening, a powerful local newsroom and conversations you actually care about, New Jersey 101.5 keeps you informed, entertained, and connected all day long.
8:09 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia with you until 10 o'clock this morning. Talking Jersey, taking your calls, 1-800-283-101.5. I really encourage you to go to the website, nj1015.com/BillSpadia. You want to take in my different takes on what's happening around the world and in New Jersey. And hopefully you follow me at Bill Spadia on Instagram and Twitter this morning, just so you know where we set the bar. We are in a major, major fight with the state of New Jersey to try to prevent the Department of Health from breaking the law and implementing new changes that will effectively compromise your privacy and eliminate your ability to stop your kids from being vaccinated on certain things if you don't want to, and get your kids barred from even private school. So it's really bad what they're doing. Thankfully, Dana Weaver and John Coyle, two great New Jersey attorneys, are fighting this fight. In other news, I poked at Elon Musk today. He stupidly called for universal basic income and talked about the high level of income. And yesterday, if you remember, Eric and I were talking about the coming robot wars, my words, not his, that, you know, we are looking at humanoids getting to a point where you're going to have more robots than people at some point. And it is, you know, tongue in cheek. I love the idea of having a robot around the house to pour me a drink and clean the house and maybe pick up the groceries. However,
what Elon is talking about is an actual replacement of 100 million workers across this country with robots. And robots don't need a minimum wage, by the way. And the problem, of course, with that is that if you are talking about universal basic income, he's saying universal high income. My question to Elon Musk is, who's paying for that and who decides? So instead of a breadline and a cup of gruel in the old Soviet Union, we're going to get caviar and a ride on Elon's yacht. That's not what America's all about. America is about the chase. America is about the pursuit of happiness. This is a very communist idea. And I said in my tweet, I would rather see a revolution against the oligarchs in this country than comply with the coming automation and some universal income set by backroom billionaire. So anyway, I encourage you to read that tweet and give me some response on it. When I come back on the 5th, I will write about these things in depth. The other thing that I talked about earlier is stop conflating the Israelis with the Israelites. This idea that Netanyahu is trying to guilt us through the Bible into endless war and endless billions to Israel has got to stop. I have drawn the line. I believe Israel is a good partner for the U.S. They are an ally, but they are a nation state no better than anybody else. Stop holding Israel up on this high horse like somehow Israel is a better country to be allied with than Great Britain or any of these other countries. It is an absurdity, and Netanyahu has now gone so far, I favor cutting our aid to Israel because I don't trust him. I think he should have finished up and cleaned up this mess in Gaza within the first year after the October 7th brutal massacre by these savages in Gaza. But that said, you're not going to hold the U.S. hostage. It's time that we put Israel and their politicians in their place. They do not get an endless flow of our money. All right, I realize that's controversial, but I don't care. I am here to fight for you. All right, Robert, hang in there. Penny, hang in there. I had to get that rant out. But now traffic and weather's coming up next.
Get the latest traffic and weather updates with the New Jersey 101.5 app.
All right. 822 on New Jersey 101.5. Let's jump right back into it. Before I get back to talking about the minimum wage and how the Republicans are continuing to screw this up, having no idea how to be an effective opposition, let's go to Penny and Edison. Merry Christmas, Penny. How you doing?
Merry Christmas, Bill. You know, I've been such a fan of yours. I turned 80. My sister gave
me the happy birthday.
She gave me the party a month there. For my husband and four kids took me to Lukacs, my favorite restaurant.
Nice.
But you, listen, when you were running for governor, I said rosaries and rosaries. You would have been the best governor, believe me.
Wow, thank you, Penny. Appreciate that.
No, I'm serious. But the only thing is, I had a little bout with neuropathy, and I have a bi-level. And, you know, I cook four nights a week. I'm still baking, and, I go down those stairs. But I have the best husband, 57 years, the best four kids. They are so good to us. Brought up in Jersey City, and I was engaged to my husband. I didn't go to Mass, so my parents said, Penny, you can't see Tony today. And in those days, you listen to your parents, you
right.
know?
Right. But the old days, so Penny. Good. Have you guys been married 57 years? God bless you.
57 years. Let me tell you something. My husband is 83. We went to his 63rd reunion at Edison High on his birthday this year.
How cool.
He was the only guy that had a full head of hair.
That's the stress-free living with you as his wife. That's what that is, Penny.
And the best four kids.
I love
and
it.
My youngest son was always my favorite because he was a baby.
Yeah.
He's been a manager at Colonial Pharmacy for 28 years.
So are your four kids all in Jersey?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I love that.
The oldest son lives with me.
I love
but
it.
But when I meet somebody that's from Colonial, I said, do you go in Colonial Pharmacy? Oh, all the time. Do you know the manager, Michael Ambrosio? Oh, we love him. You know how good that makes me feel?
Of course it does. I love it. Well, Penny, look, I am. It's always so nice to hear from you. I hope you continue to call back. I can't wait. God willing, we're able to celebrate your 60th anniversary with you and your husband on the air. In just 3 years. That would be good. When is your anniversary, by the way?
September 13th,
okay.
It will be 58 years.
It's a lucky
but
day.
Listen, what I want to do one
yeah.
day,
yeah.
I want to have my daughter take me to your station. And I want to bring my cream cheese
Done.
Brownies, my cupcakes. And I forgot how to make the cream puffs, but my daughter is an excellent baker. I have
Penny,
the four best cakes.
I would love to have you visit here. As a matter of fact, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to put you on hold. Producer Thomas will get some contact information for your daughter. Let's set that up in the new year. I would love to
okay.
see you. All right, let's do
That's
that.
That's fine.
All right.
Okay.
Merry
God
Christmas,
you,
Penny.
Bill.
God bless you. Thanks for everything. All right, Robert, Tom, let's get back to talking about this, about how the Republicans have done nothing, how the Democrats are running roughshod over our rights, and how we need to eliminate the minimum wage in New Jersey and stop propping up the high wages of government-connected unions where we are only raising the floor so that they can charge more. Guess why our prevailing wages are so high and we get killed on some of these road projects, transportation projects, etc. We're not letting the market do what the market ought to be doing. And that is, you know, people ought to get paid the wage they deserve, but it should not be artificially propped up by government and taxpayers, and we're killing our small business. We'll talk to Robert first, then Tom on the other side of the news next, 826.
New Jersey 101.5 presents Blue Friday with Bill Spadia. Thanks to our sponsor, Jobs for Blue, the leading New Jersey provider of side job scheduling.
1 minute your dogs are in the backyard playing, barking, enjoying the weather. Next they're gone, and they're out running, and before you know it, they've left the yard. On a cold, cold day, a little while ago, about a couple weeks ago, two dogs decided to explore the surface of a frozen lake in Sparta, New Jersey. Unfortunately, as we have been saying for a while now, you can't trust the ice. It's at different levels of thickness throughout the entire lake, no matter where it is. You could have a super thin spot, and boom, you're in the drink. Now, of course, it's hard to explain that to a dog, right? So, thankfully, a concerned citizen called the police when they saw two dogs walking across the lake. First on the scene, Patrolman Michael Poon from the Sparta PD arrived, and as he arrived, one of the dogs right through the ice into the freezing waters. Without hesitation or regard for his own safety, the patrolman quickly gathered his ice rescue gear, made his way across the frozen lake top, and got to the hole where the dog went in, into the water, to rescue the hound. Poon was able to get a hold of the dog and push the canine up onto the ice and out of the freezing water. And thankfully, because of the heroic effort of Sparta police officer Patrolman Michael Poon, 10-year-old Lab Sunkiss and 4-year-old Bruno are now safely back with their owner. Owner Chance Dobbs was very grateful and had this to say about Patrolman Poon and the Sparta Police Department. Quote, "I can't thank them enough for their training and being unsung and many times being unappreciated heroes looking over our community. Thank you, Patrolman Poon, and thank you to all of our hero law enforcement members across New Jersey. To all of you, Merry Christmas, and I can tell you that we will be in our 11th year of honoring local law enforcement as we begin 2026. I appreciate all of you. And I think that our police officers deserve not only the utmost respect, they deserve leaders in Trenton and in Washington that understand qualified immunity, that understand the importance of a police officer's pension, that understand the importance of protection of their jobs, their wages, their training, their families, all of it. So we need to do a much better job and stand up for our blue community. Thank you to all of you on this Blue Friday. All right, it's 8:41 on New Jersey 101.5. Thank you for the patience, guys. Let's go to my friend Robert Pluta, who owns Leonardo's 2 in Lawrenceville. Robert, you want to weigh in on the minimum wage conversation?
I sure do. Good morning. Merry Christmas, Bill.
Merry Christmas, my friend.
Yeah, the one thing that people don't talk about that really hurt my business is that they raised the minimum wage for tip-based employees from 213 to 5 and change. And,
yep.
And the Democrats, what they did is they demagogued the issue.
Yep.
And they went around and saying, how could you live on 213 an hour? Oh, my gosh, 213 an hour. Well, you can't. That's why it's called a tip-based employee, because
right.
the customer is paying their salary. And what another thing they didn't tell people is that the tip-based employee will never fall below minimum wage, because if you add up all the tips they made in the day divided by the number of hours, if it's below minimum wage, the employer's obliged to kick in the difference to bring it up to the minimum wage of $15 an hour. But they didn't tell people that. They just went around saying $2.13 an hour. Oh my God, it's got to go up, got to go up. And so they raised it up to like five and change. It cost me another like $50,000 a year. This, you know, these extra $3. And the thing is that they're just not business minded. They're just, you know, and it really hurt. I mean, businesses like, you know, the bars, restaurants, you know, people that most of their employees are waiters, waitresses. And unless you want to go to a European model where it's just the waiters and waitresses make a flat salary, but that's not what we have in America. We have a tipped-based employee where the customer is paying their salary. I should not have to pay anything more. I shouldn't even have to pay the $2.13 an hour. Let the customer pay it.
Well, it's a good point. Or you should pay whatever the employee negotiates with you. You know, Robert, I was saying this to Eric earlier, that people in our business, the broadcasting business, there's no minimum wage. There's no standard. It's what you negotiate. And, you know, I may make more or less than other hosts in other stations or other states. But, you know, I was able to negotiate my compensation and deliver a product that pays the company more than what they have to pay me. That's how it works. And in your case, same thing. You need to be making more from the customers that from those tabletops more than what you're paying the wait staff to deliver the food, obviously, so you can be profitable. And who's looking out for you? Nobody. Nobody's looking out for the small business owner. Nobody's even thinking about it. And the interesting thing is, Robert, we're eliminating a lot of these jobs. You know, because how many small shops can't go from $2 to $5? And right, a 60% increase, you look at, well, it's more than that. It's 100+% increase. And you look at a restaurant that might have 20 or 30 servers, and we wonder now why a hamburger costs $25.
Agreed, yeah.
Right? Exactly. I mean, so exactly. You're right. And the other fallacy with the minimum wage is if New Jersey voted to make it zero, which is what I am calling on the Republicans to do, and Robert, you know, you're connected with the Republican Party, you ought to talk to the candidates who are going to be running in 2027. Maybe you'll be one of them. We'll see. And you got my full support no matter what you do next. To call for a zero New Jersey minimum wage. Zero. Because you still have a federal minimum wage of more than $7 an hour. So there's no chance of people actually going below that because it wouldn't be legal. But it would alleviate the problem in New Jersey. And I believe if you look at history as a guide and look at other economies and other economic minds who have talked about this, that not only would wages eventually go back up, but you would create more jobs in the process and create an economy of starter jobs. We don't have that right now. Every job, and this is why I called out Elon Musk on Twitter earlier as essentially advocating communism. And I don't know what is going on with him or if he was just, you know, tweeting in the middle of the night, but it was such a stupid comment he made that it had to be called out, because when you start talking about government mandated wages, universal incomes, etc., you are eliminating the opportunity for people to get that starter job and then grow up into a job like yours where you are practicing your creativity through a profitable and delicious restaurant.
Yeah, agreed. I used to have all these, you know, high school kids used to come to me.
Yeah.
And, you know, they were a lot of work. You had to coach them. It was their first job. And I used to say to myself, well, you know, I'm paying them $7 an hour, so I could put up with all the nonsense. Then when they put it to 15, I'm like, oh my gosh, it's just, they're not worth it. You know?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
You got to coach them and cajole them. And it's, you know, right. And plus I'm paying them $15 an hour. It really, they should have had a carve out for like a teenage wage or a high school wage.
Of course.
Like I said, it decimated that whole, you know, high school summer job where, you know, you put up with a lot of the nonsense of hiring a teenager, but you figure, okay, well, the trade-off is, you know, I don't pay them that much.
Right.
But then, you know, they're bringing nothing to the table.
No.
They're bringing, you know, they're 15, 16, 17 years old, and I got to pay them $15 an hour, plus be their life coach, too.
Yeah.
It's just, you know.
Not going to happen. Not going to happen. And then they stay longer on mom's couch and they don't get the skills. And we have a flood of illegals that come in and work under the table. And all of a sudden, they get the narrative that Americans don't want the job. Well, because you've screwed up the economy so badly with your mandates and your lack of enforcement on illegals that you have flooded the economy with garbage. What do you expect you're going to get? So anyway, more to come on this, but I love your perspective, Robert. Merry Christmas to you and your family. Jody and I will see you guys very soon. God bless you, man.
All the best, Bill.
Thanks. Take care, Robert. Robert Pluta. Check out Leonardo's 2. It's on Business Route 1 in Lawrenceville. It is truly one of Mercer County's top restaurants. Outstanding, great food, great family. All right, Michael, Tom, I'll be right back. 847 Best Traffic Instant with the next...
Where news, talk, weather, and traffic come together to keep you informed and connected to everything Jersey. This is New Jersey 101.5.
8:53 on New Jersey 101.5. Let's jump right back into it, talking about the inaction of the Republican minority. Shame on John DeMeo. Shame on Senator Tony Bucco. Two guys that have no idea what their role should be. They don't understand it. All they know is taking scraps off the Democrat table. I mean, you got guys like Mike Testa in Cumberland County who've managed to lose Cumberland County in the 25 election. And here he's calling for a return to the slogan, New Jersey and you perfect together. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. Well, you can. And Republicans have been making stuff up for a dozen years, and that's why they're losers. That's why. So until the Republican Party gets a backbone and starts saying things meaningful, like let's eliminate the minimum wage and actually fight for small business. Where are the Republicans with this lawsuit coming against the Department of Health and the Murphy administration? Nowhere. Crickets. They're afraid. Ooh, they might call us anti-vaxxers. No, guys. It's about following the law. Let's go to Tom in Sayreville. Morning, Tom. What do you think?
Good morning, Bill. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
The reason I called, twofold, okay? What we have to do is we have to do what you're talking about, these politicians that don't do what we want them to do, is called recall, okay? 10% of the registered voters sign a petition, put these people back on a ballot, and get rid of them.
Yeah. Well,
second thing, what we have to do in this state is we have to get term limits. Now, the only way we're going to get term limits, they're not going to vote for it. We have to get a petition signed by a vast majority of the people.
Yeah.
Put it on a ballot question in November. Limit term limits.
I love your passion. I love the principle that you stand for. Let me tell you, neither happens. Neither are possible. We can't get enough common sense minded people to get involved in a Republican primary to get real leaders to challenge guys like Bucco. We had an entire legislative minority caucus in the Assembly and in the Senate put these two clowns, DeMeo and Bucco, back in charge. You know, we got 50% turnout this time. That means half the voters didn't show up. So let me be very clear with everyone so you understand my position on this. Tom, let me just say this. It's a very important point. We are, number one, not going to be able to recall any of these guys. We have to primary Republicans in the June 2027 primaries to make sure we get better, more quality candidates in the legislature to fight for us. Number two, we are not going to get term limits. It's a fun fantasy. But I'll tell you this, as an American, I'm philosophically opposed to the term limits. It's not about limiting the terms of the elected officials. If you want to implement term limits, get me on board. Let's limit the terms of government workers. Why do we have a permanent bureaucracy that is stronger than anyone we elect to the office? Can you imagine an actual common sense reformer governor taking office, having to fight his own administration because you can't get rid of people? We need to go back to the Andrew Jackson style democracy. Get in there and fire everybody. And then you hold them accountable. I've talked about this for years. We should repeal the Pendleton Civil Service Act going back to 1888. Oh, I know, history. We don't want to learn history. Well, the fact that we don't want to learn history is why we're in this mess today. Anyway, all due respect, Tom, thank you. I do appreciate you. Merry Christmas to you. 8:57, Eric Scott with your news next.
Connect to the show anytime by sending us a message through our app. Just tap on Chat with Hosts, only on New Jersey 101.5.
Nine ten on New Jersey 101.5. I am Bill Spadia. Hey, guys, as you know, we do a veteran check-in every Friday with my good friend Michael Bohl from New Jersey Veterans Network. He joins me now with a very good friend of ours, Lieutenant Colonel Scott Rutter, retired war hero, decorated man, a man that gives back to his community of veterans and is now an author of a great book called Damn Fine Soldiers. Gentlemen, welcome to New Jersey 101.5.
Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Bill.
Great to have you guys. So, Michael, thank you for arranging this. Let's jump right in. Scott, let me ask you, what inspired the book? What do you want New Jersey veterans to know?
I want them to know that they are recognized for their service and how well they did during combat operations in Iraq. It was unbelievable. 900 great soldiers from all walks of life, from New Jersey, Vineland, to Bergen County, to California, and so forth, brought together for a common good in order to execute a mission to absolute perfection.
And that, well said. I mean, this focuses on the firsthand account of Task Force 27 with a 21-day campaign from Kuwait to Baghdad during 2003. What can readers expect to get out of this book?
They're going to get the personal aspects of command, the great and unbelievable feats of heroism by many of the great soldiers that I had the honor to command, and the loss and the injuries and other episodes of soldiers that still experience now, as well as the engagements in fighting the Iraqi Special Republican Guard. Bill, this focuses on the activities before the cameras went on. You know, the annihilation of the Republican Guard, the focus of security, getting in there and doing what we were asked to do, sir.
Can I ask you both to hang on real quick? Because I have a couple more questions for you, and I want to talk about what we're doing for veterans over the holidays as well. But let me take a quick break for traffic and weather. If you guys can hang in there, I'm going to get to you in about 4 minutes. Good? Thank
yes,
you, Jens.
Got it, sir.
Thank you. 912, Fast Traffic Instant Weather next.
This holiday season, New Jersey 101.5's Feel Better Bears are back for 2025. We're spreading joy, comfort, and a little bear-sized magic to kids across New Jersey, thanks to our amazing local police and supporters like you. Teddy bears are given to children during emergencies to bring love, comfort, and a big smile. You can help. Buy a bear online or drop off a new unwrapped bear at participating locations. All American Auto and Trinity Rehab. Every bear counts. Visit NewJersey101.5.com for a full list of drop-off locations or to purchase your bear today. Let's make this holiday season a little brighter. One bear at a time. Proudly brought to you by All American Auto, Trinity Rehab, Robert Dukansky of RE/MAX First Advantage, and New Jersey 101.5.
All right. 921 on New Jersey 101.5. I am Bill Spady. All right, let's check back in. It is Friday, and as you know, we're doing a veteran check-in every Friday, thanks to my friend Michael Bohl, who is the president of New Jersey Veterans Network. If you are a veteran in any crisis situation, please call the hotline, 973-332-1556, or go to njvn.org. All right, let's check back in with Michael and my friend, Lieutenant Colonel Scott Rutter, who has a very important book that you need to read, Damn Fine Soldiers. What's going on, guys? Welcome back.
Rocking and rolling, Bill. All making right. Things happen.
So Scott, tell me a little more. We were talking about the book. What was the purpose of writing this book? You wrote this with Matt Paul. I mean, between the two of you, 50 years of service to our country. What was the purpose in writing this book?
Matt was my mortar platoon leader, and he and I took about 22 years to write this, to get the specifics, get the events down, but just to highlight and to break down, you know, the big term, shock and awe. This is about the personal aspect of the war, the preparation of the battalion task force that I had the honor to lead, the working of the families, the individual, the collective training in order to build confidence for that team, and then the aftermath of how we deal with that. Bill, we're all connected by Facebook. If somebody falls in the parking lot, they call me before 911. It's veterans taking care of each other. We take care of ourselves, and we take care of our families, sir.
I love it. The website is damnfinesoldiers.com. It's available for pre-order now. I am going to order my book today as soon as I'm off the air. And always good to talk to you, Lieutenant Colonel Scott Rutter. Real quick, Michael Bohl, as we wrap up, what do veterans need to know about this holiday season? What do you got for them?
All right, so what we're doing now is we're finishing up our Santa doc. He's going to be going to about 12 more homes. We got half of it done. and all the VA clinics and all the shelters and hospitals for veterans we're going to be visiting in the next couple of days and pumping them all out with a cheer.
I love it. I love it. If you want to learn more about the New Jersey Veterans Network, go to njvn.org. It is an organization I am honored and proud to serve as a member of their board. And, Michael, appreciate your service, your strength, and your commitment to the community. And Lieutenant Colonel Scott Rutter. Scott, always good to hear from you. I want to just point out your book is got the foreword written by our friend Brian Kilmeade. Great guy, Fox News, and certainly a man who values America's veterans. So go get pre-order the book right now, damnfinesoldiers.com. Gentlemen, thank you. Appreciate you. We continue to pray for you and all the veterans, and we're not going to rest until the unemployment rate among veterans and the homelessness rate among veterans in New Jersey is zero.
Semper Fi, Bill, and have a great holiday, brother.
God bless America and safe travels, Bill. Merry Christmas, sir.
Merry Christmas. Thank you. Take care, guys. All right, 9:25. I got a minute. Let's check in with Mike Panarella in Medford. Got a big celebration coming up for the 250th anniversary of this great country. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, listen, the first thing, Bill, I want to congratulate you on running a, in lieu of the times, a dignified, principled campaign with integrity. That's my first mission right here.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate that. That means a lot to me. Thank you.
Tonight, Jay Black, my infamous son-in-law, you know, he's married to my daughter, Christina, who you worked with before.
I love him all.
Yeah. Well, I have him, and he's going to be on with two of my former students. They're going to sing Americana songs at the Medford VFW. The singing starts and the show opens at 5:30. We have a good dinner planned. I'm very good friends with Preston, who works over at VFW. This is the fifth time we've done this kind of event. It's a fundraiser. It goes toward Medford 250, which is the 250th anniversary of the part of Medford, New Jersey in the Revolutionary War.
Wow.
So it's a specific
250th anniversary for Medford. I love that. I was talking with Kathy, our board op, about that. We're like, yeah, I guess every town's doing something. But I thought it was something specific to your town. I love that. So the proceeds tonight go to that organization. Can people just show up at the VFW at 5:30 and get a ticket?
Well, we sold out, but there are maybe 10 to 12 spots open. So, they could. If off the air, if they want to, if I can give the phone, they can call me. I can arrange that. I don't know if that's kosher or not.
Give the phone number right now, Mike. Let them hear it. If you are in the Medford area tonight, you know my friend Jay Black is, I think, one of the funniest guys in America. It's going to be a fantastic, patriotic, exciting event in Medford going to a good cause. What's the phone number, Mike?
609.
That's a funny time for the phone to cut out. And then that's it. And Mike is gone. But his phone cut out. All right. Mike, here's what we're going to do. If you can hear me, if you can't hear me, I am going to, will you just stay? Don't hang up, Mike. And Thomas is going to try to get you back. And I want you to do me a favor. Give him the number, and then we'll share it on our social media. We got 609. That was it. I don't know how many combinations of the other seven numbers are there if you want to try to figure that out today. Probably only a couple million. 927. Eric Scott with the news next. 937 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia. So, Nani, congratulations. This is baby's first Christmas by a couple of days.
Yeah, it was
under
not,
the wire, baby.
Wasn't even supposed to be. Yeah.
I know.
We're not prepared at all.
So, mom is good. Dad's good.
Mom is good.
And Nani's doing great.
Nani is so happy.
Yeah, and you've been on cloud nine for a few days now.
I'm kind of in a daze, yeah. I just want to get back to her.
It's exciting. I mean, first grandkid's a big deal.
Yeah.
It's a big deal.
I want to make a lasagna. You know,
of course, I hope so.
Go and see her, yeah.
And thank you for the cookies.
Yeah, well,
I'll get them home safe.
It's kind of cookies.
They're in the bag. It was I didn't explore the whole thing.
They're treats, yeah.
They're treats.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah,
okay. I've got some booze in the bag. I feel a little bad. I received some gifts today. I did not bring any gifts today.
That's okay. Sometimes it's nice to receive.
Yeah, you know what it is? It's just I'm spreading cheer.
Yeah, and Town Square Media gave us this gorgeous duffel bag.
Corporate spent some money on the duffel bag.
That is beyond duffel.
We were confused by this like hard pouch
here. It's a cooler.
Is that what that is?
Yeah, it's got
a cooler.
Yeah.
Kathy, do you have an opinion on the...
I went on the website for the company that makes it. Yep. It's to protect any valuables. It's a hard case, so nothing will get damaged. Oh. Like sunglasses or something that won't get smushed.
It's pretty smart, actually.
Yeah, it's got like a divider in it, so I thought I go right
they call it a vault.
I can pack for 10 days it's in a vault. Something like this.
It's a vault.
A vault?
Yeah.
All right, well, I'm taking this to London. Showing my colors. Showing my company pride.
There you go.
Anyway, here we are. Merry Christmas.
Woo!
9:38. All right. Mike Panarella from Medford, you're checking back in. We got about 30 seconds. Go ahead, ma'am.
Oh, 30, I got it. Okay, and in addition to the fundraiser tonight, we have an essay contest in which it's a letter to a founding father with cooperation with Medford Schools. In our project, again, cooperation with Medford Schools, we're bringing in a Ben Franklin reenactor in April, and we're having a parade at Memorial Park in Freedom Park in Medford, which you've been there before, so I hope you can make it.
I would love to make that.
My whole thing is trying to bring schools together with people in the community, and this is part of the project.
So, Mike, two things I want to do. Number one, give out the phone number if people want to go see Jay Black tonight. You got a couple of spots left if they're interested, and you may get some folks to call that want to just contribute to the Medford 250 event.
Oh, that'd be number. Amazing. Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
609-367-4660 is my cell.
That's fantastic, Mike. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to put you on hold. And just to make sure that producer Thomas also gets your email, I want to make sure that you're in touch with my assistant, Rose Beth, because A, I want to come out there and participate in what I can, but B, I want to promote what you have going on. Local is what matters, and I'm all in to help you. So hang on the line. Thank you, Mike. Merry Christmas. Best of the family. You got it. All right, let's go to, do I have time? Yeah, I do. Let's go to Lisa in Somerset County.
Hi, Bill. I'm calling to say that we need some attention paid to Chimney Rock Road in Bridgewater. The flash flooding event that happened back in July definitely did some damage to the adjacent land to the roadway. And I made Somerset County Road Department aware of that back in July, and nothing is really being done
with
it.
Is it a county road or is it local? Who runs that road?
It is a county road. Yeah. And now engineering, I guess, has taken a hold of this issue, but nothing's being done.
Have you talked to the mayor? Have you talked to the mayor? He's a good friend of mine.
I let him know. The mayor in Bridgewater knows that this is in the hands of the county.
But I'm saying if the mayor is aware that there's a problem, he is one of the best mayors in the state where Matt Mensch, the mayor of Bridgewater, will advocate to the county. I mean, they're suing the county over this ridiculous...
Yeah, that's stupid nonsense.
Well, they took down hundreds of trees.
I go by it.
Right? And they wonder why things flood. Like, the county government is so bad. And, you know, again, like, Somerset County is kind of like a microcosm of the state. You've got the Democrats solidly in charge of the county, but the Republicans are so useless. You've got the most useless county chair for the Republicans who got the job because daddy was, acting governor for 20 minutes. And all of a sudden, she's running the party, and they're literally running it into the ground. There's no opposition at all. This is inexcusable what they did with these trees. So here's what I'd like to do.
Yeah.
What I'd like to do is this. Can
I
you
really
call me back? Yeah, wait, after the holidays, I'm off for 2 weeks, and we need to focus on infrastructure like this. If you do not have resolution by the time I get back.
I think just going out on the airwaves, there's going to be a little fire lit because I think the public's going to start realizing, oh, is that why that road dips there?
That's right.
And
then
they're going to look over and see that, oh, a tree fell down, the guardrail is kind of not in the right place now.
And they've done enough. How long has it been there? How long has it been looking like
since
that?
Since July. It's a heavily traveled road by dump trucks. From the quarry. Hello.
So, Lisa, here's what I want to do. After the holiday, if you have not heard anything back, call me back because we're going to give out the numbers of the offices. Nothing gets them moving more than giving out the direct lines. And people call and they don't want to deal with it. So I will make
Bill,
a commitment
to you. You helped me get rid of a nonsensical traffic circle that was trying to go in on Route 523. Mm-hmm. I applaud you on that because it vanished.
That's awesome. Well, it's true, Lisa. When you shine a light They all, it's so funny to me because some of the politicians are like, oh, you know.
The cockroaches scatter.
Well, it makes us laugh here because if I had a dime for every politician, it's like, well, I don't know. I don't listen to your show. And then all of a sudden, five minutes after we go after them, their phones blow up and they act. So we're going to use the power of the largest station in the state to get things done on behalf of the good people of this state. And you're one of them, Lisa. We've been successful in the past. We will be successful
today,
again.
I just want to see this not be a tragic accident.
Yeah,
that's
thank you.
All I want.
Thank you, Lisa. If things are not done by the time I get back, we're going to start naming names of the county officials and give out their direct lines so that we get some action on this. Just stay in touch with me, okay? Thanks, Lisa.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. All right. Hey, you know what? I wish I had more time. If you've got a problem in your town and you want us to shine a light on it, the Spadia helpline is open at least for the next 10 minutes. And I'd be happy to help you. 1-800-283-101.5-944. Fast traffic, instant weather next.
Stay connected with traffic and weather updates every 15 minutes right here on New Jersey 101.5.
9:52 on New Jersey 101.5. Merry Christmas, everyone. A couple folks I want to thank. DR Catering, Dominic Rizzo, and my good friend Mark Garber from Restore Law, restore.law/Spadia for all of your needs if you are an employee who's been harassed. Anyway, DR Catering is drcatering.com. They brought a delicious breakfast this morning. We thank you. I want to thank the Ewing Diner for providing a breakfast, hot breakfast for our team every single day of the year. Really appreciate Peter. Go to ewingdiner.com. Thank you. And, of course, our good friends at Madalena's Cheesecake Company in Ringo's, really Flemington, fantastic place. They brought some great pies and cakes today. Madalena's is a great organization. So thank you guys, and appreciate everyone that supports our staff here, supports our team. This is a second family for many of us. Certainly speaking for myself, I value everyone at New Jersey 101.5 and Town Square Media. It is, I said after the campaign ended, it was coming home, and I'm proud and blessed to be a part of this group, and to everyone, Thomas and Kathy and Jill and Bob and Dan and Jessica in sales, and everyone, Lauren, and everyone that helps us, Suzanne, thank you guys for everything that you do every single day. Jeff, you too, and of course our newsroom, Dan and Rick and Jen, great team. Sergio, Merry Christmas. Every one of you, have a great holiday. Enjoy the break. Make sure you stay connected with me on social media and, at Bill Spadia on Twitter, on X, at Bill Spadia on Instagram. I will be active throughout the next 2 weeks, but I will be off on the 29th on Monday. I'll be on Newsmax 11:30 from London, but 11:30 a.m. here in the States. Enjoy that broadcast, and I'll have a few announcements coming up when I get back on the 5th. All good things coming. Merry Christmas. And Happy New Year.